Okay, let us begin Parshas Kisetze. The Parsha opens up with a discussion of Yifas Toar. It talks about the hatred that you have of two wives. Once you marry the Yifas Toar, and then it goes into the Bensorah Mora, which is also very, very difficult halacha, especially also the first halacha, the first idea of Yifas Toar. How is that possible? Why do we allow it, etc., etc.? Rav Soloveitchik takes an interesting approach. So you see amongst the captives a beautiful woman. The Torah warns us that after we go to war and are victorious in the battle, we may see something that appeals to us, symbolized by the Yifas Toar. Sometimes the Yifas Toar, the beauty of Yafes, is worthy of emulation. At the same time, there may also be corruption in the Yifas Toar. Beneath her attractive exterior looks moral perversion. The Rav takes this not as a discussion of marrying a Yifas Toar, of marrying the woman, but falling in love with the world's beauty, with the world's chachma, the world of Yifas, of Yafes, of Japheth. The Torah tells us, if you're only interested in her appearance and her long hair and her fingernails, those same fingernails will be used to scratch you. She must first shave her long hair and remove those fingernails, as the Ramban explains. Beneath the attractive exterior of the Yifas Torah lies vulgarity and immorality. She may ultimately offer something useful in terms of culture or wisdom, but you must first reject her immorality. One must distinguish between the unclean and the clean. In other words, a person is falling in love with Western culture, Greek culture, Roman culture, falling in love with non-Torah culture. It's not, as the Rav continued, Yesh Chachma Megayim, there is what to learn from it. But the question is, do you realize or do you accept to reject the immorality that's within it? The Torah never restricted us from absorbing the positive aspects of other cultures. When Yaakov and his sons left Canaan to go to Egypt, they left the agrarian society and were confronted with an advanced technical civilization. The Egyptians had great architects and artisans from whom Bezalel learned the skills to build the Mishkan. Jews have never been forbidden to learn mathematics, medicine, or science from the non-Jewish world. The Rambam, in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, writes that truth is acceptable and should be sought after no matter from where it comes. Knowledge can be attained even from a secular world. I remember once hearing the name of one of his daughters, I think it was Tamar Soloveitchik, it was Tamar Lichtenstein, said that the Rav, her father, always told him, whatever you could grab hold of, read. Interesting, the only thing he didn't allow them to read was the Jewish press, for whatever reasons. So they used to throw it into the garbage. The Rav would throw it into the garbage, and sure enough, because the Rav, the father, didn't want them to read it, they would take it out and read it from page to page. But the idea that the Rav is giving is that there's nothing wrong, but the question is, are you falling in love with their morality? Are you accepting their morality? So often I hear discussions, great discussions by so-called Orthodox Rabbanim, who, because of their enthrallment with Western culture, when their ideas of Western culture disagrees with our sense of morality, their first reaction is that our form of morality, our divine ethic, has to be changed, it must be wrong. And that is what the Rav is saying, but when it comes to matters of sanctity, Jews must be ever vigilant. There is no shortage of vulgarity, egotism, or impurity in that world. When learning from the non-Jewish world, the Jew must draw from the good, while at the same time rejecting its corruption. That's what it means in this psukim. When you see b'shivya eishes yifas toar, and you desire it, There is chachma when you see beauty in their culture. V'lokachta le'isha, and you want to bring it into your world. Then v'heveisa toch beisecha v'gilcha es rosha. Now, let's take out all of the outer appearances, which here is reflective of immorality. V'ostos tiparneha v'asira simla shivya me'aleha v'yashva beveisecha v'oxus aviyah v'etzima yerach yamin, etc., etc. Then we can separate. We must separate the immorality, those aspects of Western culture which we cannot accept, and those that we should accept. It's a beautiful new book by Sefer Rav Shalom Rasner. It's a very simple idea, but it also is a very very nice to speak about during this time of Elul. Says Parshas Kisetze opens with a section about the Eshas Yifas Toar. During battle, if a Jewish soldier sees an attractive female amongst the enemy, the Torah outlines a process whereby such a woman can become his wife. This is one of the most unusual mitzvos of the Torah. Rashi explains with regard to this ordinance that Torah speaks to the evil inclination. In other words, the Torah takes a pragmatic approach here. It understands man's passions and dictates the process necessary to enable such a woman to become part of Klal Yisrael. First, she has to shave her head, cut her nails, mourn the loss of her family. If what attracted the Jewish soldier to her was her good looks, after having performed those activities, she's likely not at her best appearance. If at that point he still loves her, he can take her as a wife. The process requires the man to establish that it is true love and not just whimsical desire. Rabbi Eliyahu Schlesinger in Eila HaDvarim highlights a crucial point. In the previous parsha, we are told of certain individuals that are able to dodge the draft and become exempt from reporting to the battlefield. The Gemara states that those who were afraid could join them and return home as well. The Gemara explains that this condition refers not to people who feared battle, rather it refers to those who feared that they may have committed a sin, and therefore would not merit divine protection. The Gemara even refers to somebody who's committed a slight transgression that's speaking between Tefillah Shel Yad and Tefillah Shel Rosh, which we discussed last week. If individuals who had committed the slightest transgressions went home, then the remaining soldiers must have been the most righteous individuals, the most learned, the pious amongst the people. It thus emerges that the entire parsha of Eishes Yifas Torah is addressed to the lusts and passions of these righteous individuals. And now it continues with the most beautiful understanding. This teaches us a very significant lesson. No matter how great we are and how strong we are in our beliefs, if we are placed in the wrong environment, we risk being influenced by it. Once a tzaddik enters the chaotic battlefield, where disorders reign and he can be inadvertently influenced, what one experiences on the battlefield is very different from normal life. The Torah had to carve out a halacha to address what transpires when an individual is in this environment. If it is essential to go to battle, the ramifications of that experience are taken into consideration in the parshas of Yifas Yitoar. In a broader sense, we should be careful. When possible to place ourselves in a proper environment, to fully observe Jewish tradition, one is to be part of a community. Prayer, tefillah, is best fulfilled with a minyan. Certain mitzvahs can only be fulfilled when other individuals. Bilam understood the power of the community and tried to curse us in that realm. What he wanted to use as a curse was turned into a blessing. His statement of Ma Tovo Alecha Yaakov, admiring our shuls and Bate Midrashim, was initially intended to curse the power and the positive influence of our community. Likewise, it is essential to select a proper community and educational institutions where we and our children can flourish as Yirei Shamayim. If pious people could be adversely influenced on the battlefield, we should not place ourselves in the line of fire either. We should take special care in protecting the environment in our homes so that we can strengthen our commitment and appreciation of Torah and mitzvahs. before we go on, what Rosner is pointing out, and I think this is something which is lost and is very dangerous in many aspects of our Orthodoxy, in particular in modern Orthodoxy. Not everyone can handle being sent, or most cannot be handled after high school, to go into Ivy League schools and to be away from home, away from Torah, not going to yeshiva at such a young age, even after the coming back from Israel after 1 or 2 years of learning, so many are not properly prepared. That's what this Parsha is speaking to. That's what this idea that Rav Ravna is saying is to those tzaddikim. That's what Rabbi Yehoshua Schlesinger is saying. These tzaddikim, when they were found in this environment of individuals who were not on par, who did not have a particular they didn't have a particular affinity or enough of an affinity to the Avodas Hashem, you put yourself into a danger. That's why we're next and now we go to the Yifas Toar. But before we go on, I wanted to mention a beautiful one, even when the Rav was saying, of course we accept, we should be studying, we very much was in favor of studying secular knowledge. But the Meshech Chachma points out, V'nosu Hashem Elokech b'yadcho b'shavi seshivyo, nira dahavi t'nai b'heti yifas toar. We see, this is a t'nai. Shadavkim Hashem nosener e'biyad Yisrael. It's only when you have succeeded, you have won the battle. Avo b'derech ha-milchomo she'ilu shovim mehem. You go to your corner, you go to your country. Ba'oyu shuvim mehem v'haderech she'osim sholom o b'tocha milchomo machlifim shvuyim she'enim ni'usim olim milchomo prisoner exchanges. And can you talk in ki avura yifas towa shemigai v'nos le'isha balkocho. Ya'akbu yisho chosh Nitziv says exactly the same thing. It's in the Tanai only at the completion of the war when you were when you're unquestionably victorious. If I could borrow this idea, and the Rav said similarly, what we're referring to when you're saying it to study secular knowledge or to go abroad and to expand your horizons. When you're already victorious, when you have a solid foundation in Avodas Hashem and Torah, then you can afford to take some time and to study other areas. Heard that the Rav, when he wanted to create a schooling system, which is impossible here in America, his idea was that really, not until the age of 23 would a person study secular knowledge. Start off with Midrash and then Torah, finally into Mishnayos, Gemara. At a later age, a person should open his mind to the Chochmos Ha'olam. It may not be something which we can follow, but I think the Musar behind it is something to think about, something to concern ourselves before we do certain ideas, before we go into different worlds. Then he goes on, what is the connection between the Eisha Shifas Toar and the Bensora Mora? Rashi explains the juxtaposition of the explanation of the Eisha Shifas Toar and the Bensora Mora to indicate that if one marries an Eisha Shifas Toar, that we'll end up having a Bensor Umara as a child. If the Torah outlines the steps that should be taken in order to permit the marriage to an Eishes Yifas Torah, why is an individual that abides by these principles punishable at all? A soldier who marries an Eishes Yifas Torah is not punished with a Bensor Umara. Rather, it is a natural result of the child growing up in a home where his father acts upon his every desire. If it is no surprise that this undisciplined child will expect, like his father, to be able to demand and obtain whatever he desires. It is so important to us to serve as personal examples for our children. If we act in a way that is inconsistent, it will have an adverse impact on our children. We cannot ask them to learn or go to shul if they don't see learning and running to shul. May we learn, may we be able to act accordingly and worthy of being emulated by our children. Such a simple, beautiful idea when discussing the Ben Soro Umora. The Smichus HaParshias, what Rabbi Reisler is trying to get across, the Smichus HaParshias teaches you, not that it's a punishment, but what is the home life about? Obviously, if parents are hedonistic, if parents are only into materialism, parents who are not going to be Shomer Torah or Mitzvahs, or even if they are, it seems to be with a cold heart, not running to shul, not davening, etc., etc. That's what the child sees at home, and that's what he's going to emulate. But let's focus a little bit on the Ben Soro Umora, which is also such a very difficult idea. Chazal Darshu Bizman Kama Darashos. I'm reading from the Meshulchan Rabbi Yehu Baruch. And he says, Rashi says, Aval Soro Chatai in the first Pshuta Shemekro. Dehalach Ora Chaluk Tova Ritzicha Ma'ones Nara Marasa Hasam Hanirtzach. Well, it's a beautiful idea, but I'm not going to discuss that. I'm going to go back to the Ben Soro Mora. Rashi says, Ben Soro Mora Nereg Hashem Sofo. Higia Torah L'Sofdato. The Torah looks at the end of his das, what he's looking to do. Sof Shemechala Mamon Ovid, what's going to do? He's going to steal his father's, he's going to work, he's going to use up all the money of his father. So then the end, there's no money, he's not left, he's going to be on the road, he's going to steal from people. So Omra Torah, Yom is Zakang, Val Yom is Chayiv. It's better to kill him when he's innocent than when he is Chayiv. Ukavar Hekshu Amifarishim. How could it be? Dikivim Dal Shem Sofa, Hu Nerag Lo Yedino, Elikasofa, Shemelasim Sabrios. First of all, the din rotzeach is b'sayef, but lama don maso b'skila. But we give him even the worst one. We don't give him b'sayef. We give him b'skila. In theory, we never had a ben soro mara. Rabbi Seinu Balayatos was teresu dechayiv skila midim mikal el chaviv, and the Yevin Ezra is going to say shahu kamo apikoros kilo yivakesh chayol lemazer kim lishani b'chol mine machol mishta. But it's still, what is the idea? And the Maram Diskin says as follows. Vada yarda Torah l'sof dato shiyavor averus harbe. The Torah looked into him and he saw he's going to be over countless averus. Shechayiv aleim skila. Kidon yishchal el Shabbos v'yikal el aviv v'imo v'od v'od v'od. But it's true. But until he does it, shit is not chayiv. In his future. And that's what the Mizrahi has a famous question, which we'll get to in a second. The Mizrahi asks, I don't understand, but the Malachim say to Yishmael, we saved. And we know in the end of time, and years from then, Yishmael was going to, children of Yishmael would persecute the children of Klal Yisrael, which we are living through today. Why was it that Yishmael was given a pass? And here the Ben Soro Mora is not. The Akshav Akati Potterhu. Ach Mekivan Sheyorta Torah L'Sof Dato Sheyagam Melistam Ezebrios. But we see in the end what he's going to do to others. V'horig Nefashis Mi'Yisrael Dam Nekiyim Chasa HaTorah Al Ibed Nefashis Mi'Yisrael. So we're worried about other lives of Yisrael. Wait till they understand the Mizrahi. But this is such a beautiful idea. And what was it? We can't give a chance. So many others are going to suffer because of him. Shehu ma'aves lo yuchel letako machmaze omretar. He has a characteristic. It's such a tremendous musa for us. There's a characteristic, a character flaw in the Ben Soro Umora which cannot be cured. In the end, it's going to result to become worse and worse. such a tremendous, beautiful idea to understand that there is sometimes in all of us a certain character flaw. That's going to be tzomeach. That's going to grow into a certain area where you're going to do things you never would have thought of in the beginning. But because you didn't control that character flaw, it led you astray to do other things. It's also l'tov, when a person has a character, a beautiful characteristic, what he can accomplish. So what was the idea? The Mizrahi explains, well, the difference was, and the answer was, because Yishmael at that moment in time was doing good deeds, just in the future. Rav Chaim Goldbach explains the question before every person is, where are you holding at the present time? Are you like the Ben Sora Amora, who's progressing, developing as a root full of rot and wormwood? Or you like the Yishmael cast out into the desert, crying out to Hashem from the depths of your heart? If it is the latter, then even if you experience failures in the future, you will judge according to your present state. And that's what we're asking on Rosh Hashanah by the Zichronos. We may be chotim today, but look into our future. Look at what we could accomplish. Look at the character flaws within us and what we're trying to change. And you'll see that in the end we'll be able to accomplish something. We're able to be greater people. We're able to be an Oved Hashem. Where Soloveitchik again also teaches us by the Makkah. The idea of the Makkah, of putting a fence around our houses. In halacha, the principle of vulnerability of man plays an important role. We have many laws pertaining to safety, or our code is replete with them. These laws are rooted in the notion of human exposure to the so-called accident. Not only the body is vulnerable, but the human spirit is vulnerable. The whole concept and the construct of offense around the laws is rooted in the notion of vulnerability of spiritual man. The spirit and the human intellect, the human fantasy, are exposed to all kinds of pressures and influences. That is why offense is necessary. Man is vulnerable both as a physical being and a spiritual personality. The vulnerability of man is more than just a tragic truth. It is an ethical, halachic postulate. The awareness of vulnerability, of being exposed, engenders many ethical virtues, amongst which the most important is humility. Man must practice humility. Pride and vanity are both degrading and corrupting. Humility is perhaps the highest ethical virtue. So the Rav is explaining, you're putting into a makkah, and this goes beautifully with everything we said, especially when we're dealing with the idea that Rav Rosner said, when you find yourself into certain situations, we so often say, I can handle it, I'm different, I'll be able to go into the secular world, I'm not worried about how it's going to affect me. And the Rav is saying over here, we go, Sisa Maka, there are dangers out there, put Gedarim, put Gezeros. Don't assume that you'll be able to handle every single Yetzer Hara that comes into the world when you go into the outside world. I will finish off with an idea from the Ohev Yisrael. The Abdu Rav, at the end of the Pasha, we're dealing with Zechiras and Mechikas Amalek. The Ata Oyev V'yogeya, you're exhausted. That's when they attacked Yesh Lomar. HaTorim Alamedes Amor L'chol Ish Yisrael HaDerech HaTov V'yosher V'hanhogam U'sheris Eich L'yinotam Oyev Hara HaTomim B'libo Shaladam. Many Hasidic thoughts, many Hasidic ideas of Amalek. We all have an Amalek within us, an Amalek that is stopping us in our worship. Hinei be'emes lozu b'vad zeri Yisrael heimutzuvim amachai ha'uma. Zara shel Amalek. Elafakom ish Yisrael. Not simply halachically correct. We do not have a chiyuv to destroy the nation of Amalek, except as part of a nation, not as an individual. But there's also an idea of mechikas Amalek within ourselves. Tzarech lemchos chelek hara hatomim b'leiv kol adam, hamachuna b'shem hamalek. U'l'sharish acharosh lo yimotzez v'al shum shemetz v'meno avmash b'yom. You can't leave any part of it in there. All of this element, and it fits in beautifully what we said with the Ben Sora Mora, that character flaw within you has to be eradicated. The chol zman shenimsa zerek amalek ba'olam az kemen sha'adam hu olam katan, az mevadei nimsa b'chol echad koch amalek b'chelik hara. As long as this amalek lives elsewhere, it lives within us. In a kochem shezeri Yisrael ein el bapeh, hakol kol Yaakov, b'torah u'tfila. That's our battle. That's our weaponry. Torah and tefillah. And kesha adam yesha koach, zebor libo tomid l'Hashem yisparach. When it is within you, when it's burning within you, then you have the ability to fight this Yetzirah, to destroy Amalek. Ein shum ra yochel l'shlobo chas v'shalom. Avol ma'adam maniach koach ze mashlicha acharei gavo. But if you're weakened by it, if you're cold-hearted, if tefillah and Torah is just happenstance with you, v'yisum erifdim sheripul yedayim oz miyad v'yavo Amalek, then the Amalek within you can overcome you. V'take of shorah hara imo. Achim adam tofes akol panem b'midas ayira liyos yara mipanem b'yisparach la'avodas ritzano akol panem ein bo lidei chet. But if you do this, if you invoke the fire within you in your tefillah and your Torah, in your Torah and mitzvahs, you'll be able to battle the Amalek and destroy it. Al kein tizkor tamid b'chol eis v'rega, v'tiyeh nizer tamid me'od. Always be careful. B'chol yinecha shelo yashukha kolach Amalek. Be cognizant of that character flaw that was within you, that Amalek within you. And then you will be able to succeed to destroy the Amalek. Then you will be able to succeed, as the Rav said, of the Ben Sora Umora, to destroy the characteristic within you. The Yafas Toar, only take the Chachma, but don't take the immorality, that which doesn't belong in our world. Good Shabbos.